We have more evidence for Ionians and Lydians working deep in Persian territory. One of the great cities of Persia was a place called Persepolis. That is, again, in modern Iran today. From a quarry from which many of the blocks of this great city were cut, comes a number of examples of graffiti written in Greek, dating to the late 6th and early 5th centuries BC. One of them reads, Pitharku ime, I am of Pitharkos, and Pitharkos is an Ionian name. Another one in Greek, very fragmentary, says, Nikon egrapse, or Nikon wrote me. These are Greek names writing in Greek. So we have to imagine that when the Persians wanted to build their capital cities, who would they get but the finest builders of the day? And these were the Lydians and the Ionian Greeks. One other example I'll talk about comes from a piece of sculpture from Persepolis. And it's a statue, and it's a relief statue of a seated Persian. And on the sole of his foot, where no one would have been able to see it, are found drawings in Greek style that were surreptitiously scratched there by a Greek artisan. The statues would have been painted, the graffiti would not have been noticeable, but we know that the Greeks were there, an Ionian presence among the artisans employed by the Persians. We actually know that Persians used Greek doctors in their court. So there was a great deal of interplay between the Ionian Greeks and Lydians and their Persian masters. Although the Persians tended to allow cities to rule themselves, as long as they obeyed the will of the satraps, paid tribute to the great king in Susa, and helped with the military, nevertheless, some conquered nations chafed at their subjugation. And among these were the Ionians. Not the Ionians who were forced to work in Persia, but the Ionians back on the west coast of Anatolia. In the year 499 BC, after about 50 years of Persian rule, the Ionians revolted against Persia, and it was led by Aristagoras, the tyrant of the great city of Miletus. He organized this insurrection. And of course, we talked about Miletus 2 lectures ago, about this great center for philosophical thought, and we talked about the power of tyrants. Well, in 499 BC, Aristagoras decided that he could not bear Persian rule, and he wanted to gain his independence. But he knew that he and his fellow Ionians could not hope to gain independence against the might of Persia. So in secret, he asked the Greeks living on the mainland to help him. First, he went to Sparta. Sparta had the best army of the day, but the Spartans refused. They asked him to show a map where Persia was compared to Sparta, and they recognized that it was so far away, they didn't want to have any part in it. When the Spartans refused, Aristagoras sent a message to the Athenians, and of course Athens had had a long tradition with Miletus. Myth had it that a king of Athens founded the city of Miletus, and the Athenians agreed to help. They sent 20 ships to help in this revolt, and initially the revolt was successful. With the help of the Athenians, the satrapal capital at Sardis was burned to the ground. Ultimately, however, the Persians gained the upper hand and ended the revolt, actually destroying the city of Miletus, this great center for philosophical thought. When the Greeks heard about this back in Athens, they were greatly sorrowful. They'd actually already pulled their ships and stopped helping in this revolt. A playwright wrote a play about the destruction of Miletus, and the play was banned. It was too tragic to show in the city of Athens. Miletus was sacked and destroyed by the Persians, and the neighboring temple of Apollo at Didyma That great 6th century BC marble structure was also destroyed. And in fact, much of the population of Miletus was removed by the Persians and taken to the mouth of the Persian Gulf to live near Susa. So, a tragic end to this brave revolt on the part of the Ionians.